You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now we're joined again in studio by Matt Hart. Our last chat.
Our last chat. Our Kia ora, guys.
This is
our
last chat.
I know.
It is our last chat with Matt Hart.
It's been a very, very fun time.
Well, listen, first off, if I don't get a chance at the end, I want to say thank you so much for having me here. It's been a bit of an eye-opener for me to enter the broadcasting world.
Yeah?
Not just social broadcast and out into the ether, into the void, but to actually have a dialogue with you and have that, I don't know, find its way into the airwaves.
Yeah, it's been very interesting hearing what you've had to say about a variety of different topics that we've talked about, mostly around young people. We've talked about AI a little bit as well. It's just, you know, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Those themes, I think, are becoming more and more relevant. As I was just saying, the conversations you had about, you know, under 16 and social media ban, and where that takes you in terms of cultural glue, what that means for their futures, how they develop real social skills in the real world and be part of a community and part of a nation, etc. I think it's fascinating, but it did make me think one question that didn't come up was unpacking exactly how they make under 16 social media and who gets the data. Who drives the validation of how old they are? Because you're starting to learn a lot about a person, and that's private information.
Yeah.
Does the government hold that and offset that out to the social platform? At the moment in Australia, they're saying that the social platform should do that. And would you give that amount of data as a parent about your young person to the big social platforms? Absolutely no.
I mean, something I touched upon in the interview a little bit was how a lot of young people may, if this bill does go ahead, they may fake their age a little bit.
Yeah.
So that would also kind of jeopardize what the authentic data is.
It's the power of unintended consequences, isn't it? You start out with a noble ambition and a purpose to go and provide safety, etc. And then you start to unpack, well, what could that actually mean?
Yeah.
I think it's fascinating. I was just saying it's relevant today. I just had a work conversation with a colleague who, Joel, was even saying in my generations, we're finding that we are ending up in these thin domains of conversation and themes and interests. And then we come and connect with our friends and you realize they have a whole other, or suddenly they're way out there on the right wing. You know, they have different political views. It's weird how this is starting to become both prevalent and across the generations.
Yeah, I feel like politics has become a lot more polarizing over the past like 10, 15 years maybe, where, I mean, I would assume that most people would have been a lot more like centrist, maybe like centre-left, centre-right, but now we're seeing a shift towards the centre-right and even centre-left.
That's right.
So it's interesting seeing how that has sort of evolved over the
You're at the like every Monday you do these political interviews and trying to keep people engaged. I think you're doing God's work. I think trying to help us all stay engaged and get out of these very non-porous worlds, because once you're deep in a domain of interest that the algorithms want to take you down, you become less open to the world around you, and then therefore less open to what is happening at the cultural national level.
Yeah, and we're lucky to have all the politicians that we do speak to, especially because most of us, if not all of us, are either students or just recently graduated from university, and having the opportunity to speak to politicians from across the political spectrum is really, really a great opportunity for the volunteers at BFM to hone their interviewing skills. And yeah, I'm just very thankful to have all the politicians
all that
we speak to on the show.
All that opportunity. And then, you know, the bit I bring here, I've been talking about, is this idea of fandom. And how does that content that is enriching and meaningful and carries knowledge with it, how does that spread and go wide in a world that's actually against that now?
Mm.
And that if we click, we like, we get taken down thin, we don't get broadcast out wide.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a challenge all around and still much needed.
Yeah. Yeah, because the social media algorithm does kind of tailor its content to what you're sort of engaging with. So you might not necessarily get the opposite side of an argument because you're just kind of following along with one specific path, because that's what the algorithm is doing. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. And then I want to thank you guys, because part of what we've been discussing, these different themes, AI, creativity, people creating their confident futures, moving abroad, immigration, etc., opportunity to step out of uni and create your way forward. I've started to coalesce that into my thesis around this idea of a PhD, which is the tension between, you know, someone who's an innovator like me is employed or commissioned to solve the problem. But what we end up doing often by solving the problem in the world is you end up healing the inner world. You end up reconnecting people with deeper parts of themselves that are the things they want to be working on, that are the ideas they'd like to be confidently surfacing and working on. And I'm really interested between that interplay, that are you using the problem in the world to get to the inner world, or in today's world, Gen Z, Gen A, who are much more interested in ideas of intentions and manifesting and trying to find their truer way forward. Do you start from the inner world and try and take them to the outer world? Yeah. So it's becoming a fascinating area to explore.
Yeah, well, like we said before, we just want to thank you for joining us on the show over the past few months. It has been very, very great to have you on the show and have a
really
live segment here and have you here weekly as well, just chatting to someone new. So likewise, really thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Joel. Wish you all the best. Evie, I wish you all the best.
You too.
And we will hopefully see you again in the future.
I'm a friend of BFN, always a fan of BFN.
Ka kite.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.